The Alaska Federation of Natives has been involved in the fight to protect ICWA for years.
This is something we care deeply about.
The president of AFN, Julie Kitka, says a lot was at stake far beyond the right of tribes to oversee adoptions.
A lot of threads of federal Indian law, the authority for the Congress to deal with Alaska Natives, Native Americans, derives from that.
Kitka says had efforts to overturn ICWA succeeded, tribal sovereignty could have seen widespread erosion.
Today's decision represents a huge win for tribes throughout the nation and reaffirms tribal sovereignty.
Brian Ridley, head of the Tanana Chiefs Conference in Interior Alaska, says ICWA has been a success story for tribes that's helped to keep children, families, and tribes together, along with their culture and traditions.
All the years of work that we've done to get to this point in trying to protect our Native kids and keep them with our Native families.
But during a U.S. Supreme Court hearing last year, Matthew McGill, the attorney representing a white family fighting to adopt a Native child, argued that ICWA had discriminated against them and put the interests of the tribe over the needs of the child.
That means each year, hundreds, if not thousands, of Indian children are placed in non-Indian foster homes. And sometimes there they bond with those families.
Justice Amy Coney Barrett wrote the majority opinion and cited more than a century of precedent and the plaintiff's lack of standing on the issues. Richard Peterson, president of Tlingit and Haida, the largest tribal group in Alaska, says the lawsuit had one benefit. It brought more than 500 tribes together to fight for ICWA.
It's always scary when you go to court, but we keep winning because we're on the right side.
Peterson says the unity achieved to fight for ICWA will still be needed. He believes the threats to tribal sovereignty are far from over. In Anchorage, I'm Rhonda McBride.